We're very thankful for your desire to be with us today. There was an outliner. I hope you received one when you came in. Very welcome to go back or ask brethren to look around and share. If you'd like to follow along with the lesson this morning. The title of the lesson is A Heritage Had, or from Father, I'll sometimes say son, but fathers have daughters too, so from father to children. So we're going to look at with the example of Joseph in our lesson this morning. Just by way of introduction or information, the observance of a Father's Day took place in Fairmount, West Virginia on July 5th, 1908. It was organized by Mrs. Grace Clayton. She wanted to celebrate the life, of 210 fathers who died in the Monaga mining disaster on December 6, 1907. So Mitten chose the date that was nearest to the birthday of her recently deceased husband. And the celebration was held that year, but not the next. So in 1910, 2 years later, a lady named Sonora Dodd decided to honor fathers. Maybe she was influenced by the recent celebration of Mother's Day. So she selected a date in June 1910. The celebration and the date were never officially registered as a holiday to be recognized. It was a one-time event and not necessarily a nation-wide observance. The Father's Day was officially recognized as a holiday in 1972 by President Nixon. He said it would be held on the third Sunday in June. And then Fairmount, West Virginia, does promote itself as home of the first Father's Day service. So as our nation recognizes Father's Day, I want to tell you about a father from the Bible. You know, when a loved one dies, there are always a precious memories. And stories begin to be told rather rapidly and quite often in remembrance of the one who has passed away. And many times our conversations will begin, remember when? Yes, I remember. So Jacob in our scripture reading has died and must have left Joseph with many fond memories. Maybe Joseph thought about the time when he was given a coat of many colors, Genesis 37, verse 3. Or maybe he remembers the time when his brothers had deceived his father into believing that Joseph was killed by wild animals, in Genesis 37, verse 31. Or maybe he remembered Benjamin, his younger brother, being held hostage in Egypt in order to get his father to come to Egypt from Canaan's land. A lot of precious memories that Joseph had when dad passes away. Maybe he remembered how his dad was taught by his dad, Isaac. And maybe he remembered how Isaac was taught by his dad, Abraham. And Abraham was being called the father of the faithful in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. So now Joseph's father is gone. Memories are abundant. God's called, we say, called home. So now what is he going to remember? I've listed four things in your notes this morning. What memories does Joseph have? There could be many more, but I've just listed four. You know, I saw a poem where it said, I may never be as clever as my neighbor on the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had. But I've got to be successful as a little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish ere my working time is through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad and to make myself successful as that little fellow's dad. I may never get earth's glory. I may never gather gold. Men may count me a failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, I'll be glad, for then I'll know I've been successful as a little fellow's dad. Every time I read poems about fathers and sons, my wife Christine reminds me that fathers have daughters too, but I just can't find any poems about fathers and daughters. They're always about fathers and sons. So let's take a look at the four things that Joseph may have had a precious memory about. Number one, Jacob, what are you going to leave Joseph? I'm going to leave him the ability to forgive his brothers. Well, those brothers needed forgiveness. See, while Joseph lived at home, his brothers in Genesis 37, verse 4, hated him. Oh. The verse continues that they could not speak peaceably to him. The story continues that Joseph was envied. He was mistreated. He was cast into a pit. He was sold to people that were passing by. And then he was lied about to his father. Boy, and the list goes on. So being sold to the people passing by, he ended up in Egypt. While he was in Egypt, he was falsely accused. He was cast into prison. He was forgotten. However, he was soon remembered, and then he was elevated to a high position in the household of Potiphar. I was thinking, if I was Joseph, oh, I can't wait to get even with my brothers. I wonder what he was thinking. But that's not the thought that's presented. His father died, has died. And now they're probably thinking, boy, Joseph is going to get even with us. And what he's going to treat us. Here we are in Egypt, and he's in power. He has the authority over us. What is he going to do to us? They were thinking about their ill treatment that he might give them. So they came to Joseph. And in Genesis chapter 50 in verse 19, Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid." I can imagine they were. Uh-oh, what's he going to do with his first words? "Brothers, don't be afraid. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me." Yeah. "But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day." Wow. So God had a hand in it. And then it says, "To save many people alive. Now therefore," and he says it again, "don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your little ones." And then it said, and he comforted them. Well, imagine they wanted comfort. Look at the possibility of what he can do. Look at the power and the authority that's in his hand. And they're probably remembering too, now that dad has passed away, all the mistreatment we did to him. And then it says, and he spoke kindly to them. I hope parents, not just dad's sons, but parents to children, teach them to be forgiving. To be forgiving. There'll be mistreatment. There'll be hardship in life. Even from family. Uh-oh. And what am I going to do? The Bible admonition for us, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And then he gives the illustration, not as Joseph forgave, but he says, but even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Yeah. Forgiveness. Isn't that something all of us need? Oh, Christine and I have taught our children forgiveness. Forgiveness. So that's the first thing, or one thing, that Joseph received from his dad. And he exhibited that after dad's passing. I'm going to be forgiving. Number two, left an example. Be an exodus from Egypt. He had faith that they're not just bound and stuck here, but that one day they would leave to go to the promised land. There would be an exodus. In Genesis 49, verse 29, says, Jacob asked Joseph to take his body to Canaan's land for burial. Joseph, after I die, take my body to the promised land. And Joseph does that in Genesis chapter 50, verse 12. And now in Genesis 50, verse 24, Joseph is dying. And he makes a request of his brothers. He says, don't leave my body in Egypt. Take it to the promised land, almost in so many words, when you leave this land of bondage. When you leave Egypt. When there'll be an exodus, take my body with you to the promised land. Joseph dies shortly after at the age of 110. And sure enough, in the exodus, when God raises up Moses to lead the Israelites out of the promised, out of the land of bondage, out of Egypt, across the Red Sea to the promised land, in Exodus 13, verse 19, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Joseph is an example of faith. I'm not bound here. There's a promised land. There's a land to which I'm going. And we sing songs about this for our life. Here we are, but straying pilgrims. Where is the song in our book, I'm bound for the promised land, meaning heaven itself. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Well, that's the way Joseph thought about bondage in Egypt. His faith was, no, I'm bound for the promised land. I watched him playing round my door, my neighbor's little boy of four. I wondered why a child should choose to wear his dad's old worn-out shoes. I saw him try with all his might to make the laces snug and tight. I smiled to see him walk, and then he'd only step right out again. I heard him cry, his voice so glad, I want to be just like my dad. I hoped his dad would choose sage for his son to wear his shoes. And then a shout and a cry of joy, a hello, dad, and a hiya, boy. They walked along in measured stride, each face aglow with love and pride. What have you done today, my lad? I tried to wear your old. They're big, but when I'm a man, I'll wear your shoes. I know I can. Well, they stopped, stood there hand in hand. He saw his son's tracks in the sand. His words of prayer came to be, Lord, let my steps lead him to thee. Example. Power of example. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in you also. Grandmother Lois, what are you going to leave your daughter? Oh, faith. Mother Eunice, what are you going to leave your son? Faith. Timothy. Generational faith. What are we going to leave our children as parents? Number one, the ability to forgive. Because you'll be mistreated. I want to leave them an example of faith. An example of faith. The power of example is mighty. We have phrases in life. We say, like father, like son. We say, a picture's worth a thousand words. I see what my parents, or how my parents lived. I want to copy that. We say, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. Yeah, don't amen that. But we want to see a sermon. Walk the talk. Power of example. And our children see us as parents, and they hear us the way we talk. They hear the way we pray. They watch the way we behave in a worship assembly or a Bible class. They watch the way we minister to one another during the week. They watch us. One of my favorite stories, probably, I think I told it recently, but it was when Dennis retired from school teaching. And at his retirement party, his daughter Katie spoke, and one of the things she said, my dad taught me. Did what? He taught you? He said, honesty and faith. Power of example. I said, Dennis, where are you going to leave your daughter Katie? Oh, an example of honesty and faith, integrity. His principal also got up and spoke. Linda Carlton was her name. She was talking about Dennis and the example that he left on the campus. She says, oh, Dennis would always come into the office and he would have a clean joke to tell. Yeah, they were always clean. They weren't funny, but they were clean. The power of example. But that was impressive to her enough that she mentioned that at his retirement party. What are you going to leave your children? Jesus left an example. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For to this were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. That's right. We're going to leave something. All of us are. We're going to leave something. I want to leave you with the ability to forgive one another and provide you an example of faith and steadfastness. Did you know that's the only thing required of a Christian? Faithfulness. You sometimes say, I can't do what they can do. You don't have to. The Bible says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2. Moreover, it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Be faithful to what you have, your ability, your opportunity. In Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful till death, and I'll give you a crown of life. What the Bible requires, faithfulness. That's what I want you to leave to those in your family and those who are sitting around you. Leave an example of faithfulness. Number three, what Jacob left Joseph with knowledge of God. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 23, Joseph saw Ephraim's children, the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up on Joseph's knees. These are Joseph's great-grandchildren. Joseph's sons are Ephraim and Manasseh. Joseph, what are you going to leave them? I'm going to leave them knowledge of God. They were brought up on Joseph's knees. Joseph, what did you teach them? Faith and steadfastness and endurance, especially in time of trouble. You know, there's a dire need that exists throughout the land when we're fighting to amass fortunes. We need parents, and this illustration of the sermon, dads. We need dads to make time. We need dads to stop and dads to sit down and take sons and daughters on their knees. teach them God. I can't do that anymore. My boys are in their 40s and almost 200 pounds. I don't want them sitting on my knees. But the verse says, saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Makar, the son of Manasseh, they were brought up on Joseph's knees. Moses taught Israel different ways to teach their children. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, Moses gathers together before they go into the promised land. And Moses says, these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart to the parents. He says, and you'll teach them diligently to your children. Children need to be taught. I want to leave knowledge of God's word to my children. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on the gates. Different ways. Teach the children. Someone's going to say, oh, I'm not going to influence my child in religion. You're already influenced in religion. Your influence, your lack of influence. You're telling them if you don't teach them that knowledge of God's word is not important. By your lack of teaching, you're saying this is not significant. You're already influencing your in religion, in knowledge of God's word. You're already influencing them. Yeah. You want to influence them in the right way. Pick up those little children, sit them on your knees, and teach them God's words. They're going to religiously, by the movies they see, by the television programs they watch, by the music they listen to, by the people they hang around with, by the other students at school, by their friends. They're going to be influenced by their teachers. They're going to be influenced. Sure are. So moms and dads, or dads in this sermon, be sure you influence your children, teach your children, leave them knowledge of God's word. Precious memories. We typically think of precious memories at funerals. There's always that section in the memorial service. Now comes time in our service to remember the life of the one who's passed away. And we have family and friends here who will share some precious memories at the passing, at the funeral. Bible says in Genesis 25, verse 5, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. Gave all that he had. Faith was part of that, sure was. To Isaac, to Jacob, to Joseph, to Ephraim, to Manasseh, to the third generation. Yeah. Leave your children precious memories. Make sure one of those precious memories is your influence on them religiously. So we ask the question, Dad, what are you going to leave your children? Gonna just leave them something they can hold in their hand? You gonna leave them something to moth and rust and thieves? Something that can be put in a box and stored in the garage and forgotten? That's what you gonna leave them? Or are you gonna leave them something that's in their heart that will take them to heaven? Get his goodnight kiss. He stood beside my chair once. He raised an eager face to me, a face with love alight. And as I gathered in my arms the son God gave to me, I thanked the lad for being good, hoped he'd always be. His little arms crept round my neck. And then I heard him say, four simple words I can't forget. Four words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, on secrets no one knew. They shook me. I hear them yet. He said, I'll be like you. things we mentioned with the illustration of the ability to forgive, knowledge or example of faith, leave them an example of faith. Leave them knowledge of God's word. That will leave them with precious memories. Precious memories. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're subject to it if you've not obeyed the good news gospel message already. When Jesus, before he left and was ascended back to the Father, Matthew records his final words and real final words of people. What's the last thing they said before they left us? He said in Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all the nations." And he gives them the recipe of the formula. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teaching them," continued education, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. "Go and preach the gospel to every creature," or preach to all the world. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that doesn't believe shall be condemned." When Peter stands up with the apostles in Acts chapter 2, and he preaches that first gospel sermon 10 days after the resurrection, after the ascension of Jesus. They have Pentecost 50 days after the resurrection. And so Peter stands up with them in Acts 2 and begins in verses 20 through 22. Peter condemns him. He says, "You through wicked hands have slain God." He continues that thought in verse 36, and he says, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God's made both Lord and Christ." They heard that. The Bible said they were cut to the heart. They were convinced they crucified the Christ. They murdered the Messiah. So they cried out, "What, men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of heaven, for the remission of your sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is the promise, and to your children, and many, and all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation." And those that gladly received his word were baptized. They added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. Verse 47 says, "The Lord added to them daily those who were being saved." Who were being saved? Verse 41, "Those who gladly received his word and were baptized." That's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. It's a heavenly invitation. You're subject to it if you've not obeyed the good news gospel message already. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve to repent and be baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish it. Let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Des is selected for us. If you desire, if that's your resolve, you want to respond in a public way, simply let it be known at the close of this song.